So, Dr. Albert, we had some primaries that have been taking place, runoffs taking place. If you could share with us in these remaining few minutes two things that tie in together. Number one, some of the primaries that you found to be some of the most significant, some of the ones to really watch, and then specifically weigh in for us, as I was asking earlier, about what's taking place in California, what will take place, whatever takes place in their general election, how you see it possibly or maybe even probably impacting the rest of the nation.
That's what I tell other radio show hosts and news anchors, is that let's try to get out of the prediction business because it's a bad business to be in today. It's too hard to predict these things. I think that if I were a Democrat, I'm not saying I'm not, but let's just view it from the world of a Democrat right now, I would be cautious and hesitant to think that you're going to have a blue wave take over the United States. I would also be cautious to say whatever happens in California is going to determine what happens nationwide. I think it is safe to say if you see a blue wave in California, especially in the rural districts that are very conservative and Republican in their orientation. The only reason California comes to be a blue state is because its major cities are Democrat. The interior and the smaller cities are all very dominant Republican and conservative. And so if those districts go blue and they go overwhelmingly blue, then I think it would be safe to say you can expect that in the rest of the country as well. We didn't see that in their elections. We saw conservative candidates and Democratic candidates come out and be one and two. Now, I'm not an expert in California politics. I don't think anybody can be an expert in California politics. My wife is from there, so I know a little bit about the history of everything that's out there. It is tough to determine. They have their top two choices in the primaries, regardless of your party, are on the general election after the primaries, which is kind of a fun way to approach politics.
Yes,
but I think what they were hoping is that those top two would be Democrat. Well, it didn't turn out that way, not even in the gubernatorial race. The top two came out to be a Republican and then a Democrat as well. So we see, even though the Democrats are predicting a blue wave, that even in the California primaries, it had, per what one could expect, a Democrat and a Republican, because the population almost in every state is around that 50-50 split between conservative and liberal, or 55-45. There's certainly not a supermajority to dominate, to make one party just complete over the state. Even in what some would consider super red or super blue states, I mean, it's only super red or super blue by 8 to 10% of the population, which in politics, is, of course, is a lot. But when we think of, for instance, where I went to school and lived for, 8 years, Connecticut, most people think is a super liberal, super blue state. Well, cities are, but again, the rural areas, the countryside, the towns, the villages tend to be Republican. So it's really I don't want anybody to email me and give me the exact statistics and say you were wrong, but it's no more than like 10 percentage points the difference, which to me isn't that much. So I think what we need to be cautious of is over predicting and over analyzing what we think the future is going to be, and never predict that one party is going to win overwhelmingly over the other, because I think we can learn a lesson from Hillary Clinton in this aspect. She did not go in campaign in those four key Rust Belt states that Trump ultimately won, even if he only won them by a few hundred or a thousand votes in some cases. She chose not to campaign in those states, thinking of Pennsylvania, was it Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, because she thought they were her states. I think those are the four, but the four major states that she just thought was going to be hers. And even President Bill Clinton said, we need to get on the ground. Let's not overestimate this thing. Trump is a powerful candidate. Whether let's not blind ourselves because we might not personally like something. Well, a lot of people don't care about that or don't think about that the way we do. I say we as if I'm the Clintons in this aspect. You never know how people are going to determine. You never know who's going to turn up. You can't trust polls, because you have some bias that even as political scientists, as social scientists, we can't account for. You can't always make someone tell the truth.
That's true.
You can't. You don't know. So, you know, always regard polls with a little bit of caution, which I think, you know, we're trying to account for now, but after the Trump election. But never be over certain. Never hedge your bets in politics. Always make sure you go on the ground where you need to be. Talk to people, understand people, love people, and only then can you get them to vote for you.
And I imagine that is one of the things that she probably woke up for several weeks, months, regretting. When in fact, I really admire a lot of the people who were on the Clinton team who didn't just talk about her losses being attributed to things that James Comey said during the end weeks of the campaign, or even what Russia did with their meddling. They looked within.
That's right.
And started talking about what we did wrong that led to this loss. And so, yeah, I agree. One of the worst things that any politician can do is become very, very careless in their thinking and assume we got this wrapped up. Let's not spend any time or resources there.
And, you know, the great Chinese military tactician Sun Tzu and Machiavelli and Karl von Clausewitz, a great general from Prussia, have all written in some form, never underestimate your opponent. Never underestimate your opponent. So even if you think you have more political gravitas than they do, you think America is not going to agree with that person for whatever the reason, you never underestimate. Always better to overestimate than go under.
Dr. Albert, it has been great having you on board with us again. As always, shedding a lot of light on a lot of things that mean a lot to us. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that as Dr. Albert was speaking with me, you were hearing the relevance, whether we were talking about politics from an international perspective, a national perspective. I guarantee you, if you really, really think about it, you can see the relevance even on the local level. So please keep in mind what he was sharing with us. There's more voting to be done. Do your homework, do your research. And again, just as it is with politicians, so with the voters. Don't take anything for granted. The politicians need to be doing what they need to be doing, and voters need to be doing what we need to be doing. Dr. Albert, thank you again so much. We appreciate you.
Love being
here. Look
forward
to next time.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. End of the week. This is Power Friday. Remember to do what you can do to let some of life's best moments come through you. Till next time.